The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we
men
go!
On the mission!
Men on the mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on a Mission podcast on Warsaw Connection. I'm Tim Slavka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era, to find some of the best and some of the worst of wrestling time period often forgotten. From Brendan Shaw in Survivor Series 92 to Brendan Shaw in Survivor Series 97. Look beyond just the pay-per-views, examine the weekly TV, see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. How's it going, JP?
Pretty good, man. Football season's back.
I was I'll time date this. I just got a text that Ohio State's losing at the half. You know, they're missing their boy Field. So
yeah, exactly.
You can figure out when we recorded this from that. But you know, football, we got college football this weekend, pro football the next weekend. You know, just the fall is a great time in Chicago, at least to cool down this week finally. So it's fall time is here.
Oh man, I can't wait. Yeah, it doesn't really cool down here until like. December 36th, I guess.
One day December.
Right.
One day of December.
It gets a little, you know, it gets in the 60s. I mean, it really goes down to like the 40s for like a week or two, but
yeah,
nothing crazy. But yeah, I'll take whatever I can get, you know.
Yeah, it's just crazy because I was lucky enough to go to SummerSlam in Las Vegas, and it was like 110 there. But then I come back to Chicago in 90, but it's the humidity. I was I'd rather be in Vegas, like in that 110 degrees than the humidity. So finally, it finally busted on Sunday after like 15 straight days of just unbearable humidity, which I'm sure you're well aware of. Like just somehow it rains, it's worse. It doesn't make sense.
Because it only rains for like 15 minutes, and then all it does is get the whole everything humid, and you know, you get swamp ass and all that stuff here, and you know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, so I know we missed a week here. We just, you know, some personal things got in the way. We couldn't get to it, but we're back, so we're gonna keep going at another week. Like we mentioned on the last episode, though, this is a big one, so we're gonna take it as a 1 week this time, right. Just because I think there's a lot going on for this installment, and then we'll kind of see from there. You know, taking two at a time, but I think this one definitely deserves. You know, the treatment of itself, because I think it's a groundbreaking Raw, and the superstars that adds on to it as well. So we're going to tack on superstars as well.
Right.
I think there's been, you know, groundbreaking moments in you know, Raw to date, right? We're probably through, 15, 20 episodes so far. There's been, you know, good matches, some moments you remember, but this is the one, I think, that if you ask wrestling fans, and crazy to think about it both it happening on the same show, you know, what happens in this show. It's kind of crazy to think about this all in one.
Yeah, I think you know, until the Monday Night War era, like until late 95, early 96 time frame, this is the Raw you point to. Like,
yeah,
I don't, there's nothing really in 94 that like pops out as a full show. Like you got Bret and Kid, you got, you know, a couple other moments. 95, you got like the cool angle with Bill Watts when he does like the killing of the Undertaker and all the heels come out. You know, you got moments, but
right,
as like a full show, I think this is the one of the early era that people go to, and it's like your first one, and everybody remembers this show. Like people, this is like one of those dates too, like 5/17. Like I think a lot of people know it by the date, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it is. I think we're going to go in a big stretch of, you know, this is probably the one episode, but I think there's a lot of stuff coming up. It's just going to be weird when they get off that, like, okay, this didn't work. And I wonder why, right? Like, why they thought this didn't work, of kind of doing this, you know, anything goes, you know, whatever they say, uncooked, uncut, I'm getting screwed up. But whatever they say, right? Like, why they get away from that and go to such a bland tape schedule. And like you mentioned, there's stuff that happens, right? Like there's, you know, the Sid moment, the Shawn.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Shawn fake injury or whatever you want to call it with Owen. Like there's stuff that happens, but this, like, you know, unpredictable, like they just lose along the way. And this, it's kind of hurt in 94, like being like, man, I wish they would go back to kind of this unpredictability here.
Right. It's like a tapered, more tame version of Crash TV, where it's just segment into segment, and nobody was really pushing them at this time, so it wasn't the competition thing. But
right,
I don't know. I just think they were trying to see what stuck, and maybe, you know, maybe ratings. I'm not like a ratings guy, but maybe ratings weren't crazy for this, and they just said, well, why are we gonna burn ourselves out creatively, and let's just go back to the squashes if it's not gonna make any difference. But
I think they just weren't pushed. I mean, I think that's kind of it. I think because even in the, you know, you listen to Warzone with JT, it's like WCD is kicking their butt and they're still like in the drivers or, you know, behind thinking, oh, yep, we got everything. We're raw. Right. It took them a while before they finally got off. You know, every time you hear Chad and Justin talk about, you know, the fourth taped episode, like how bland and stale it is, like how could they not see it coming? Right. And I think it took them to really, when WCW was just monster ratings and NWO shirts everywhere, that finally said, okay, we got to switch it up.
Exactly. And then if you like fast forward into like today's world, with Punk coming back and like AEW now becoming, you know, maybe not like WCW level contender, obviously that's more like that took years to get to that. Like,
right.
You know, WCW was established brand already for, you know, 7-8 years before it became a war. And, you know, WWE, what was their response? They take NXT away from Triple H and give it to Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and throw a, I don't know what kind of logo that was on it, but, you know, it's like they just want to go back to like the OVW style, and it's weird because, you know, the fans are telling you they want this hyper active style, and it's like, you know, we're just going to chill out for now. And I guess maybe that's going to create the war again, because maybe AEW will start kicking their ass for a little bit, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the hard part about it is that WCW did have that established brand, right? AEW is kind of starting up from scratch. Right. When they got some stars, you know, WCW people, they had their followers, right? AEW is, you know, starting from scratch, even though they have, you know, some known stars. I think it'll take them some time to really drive fans. But it is kind of crazy right now that it's still taking a while for WWF to even like acknowledge them as a brand. Right.
Yeah.
And same type thing is like when, you know, I assume AEW is going to pass them soon enough. Right. Maybe not all ratings, but, you know,
right.
I think we're in a similar path right now. So,
yeah. And if they do, it's actually more impressive than WCW, because like WCW didn't pass them until they got Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and Roddy Piper and, you know, all these like huge stars. Like I love Punk. He's one of my favorites ever. Daniel Bryan. They're not the stars as Hogan is and stuff like that. It would take like a Cena, Orton, Batista, Lesnar type of guy to go, which probably won't ever happen, but
yeah,
you know, remains to be seen.
Yeah, Lesnar would be the one, I think, because he's got appeal of you know, non-wrestling fans, right? Because of his UFC.
Right.
I mean, Punk is a little bit, but Lesnar is like, everyone knows who he is, right?
And he's a hired gun. Like, he don't give a shit about WWE. You know, he's there for the money, so, you know?
His Jimmy John's tights will tell you that he will do anything.
right. Exactly.
All right, so I think let's get on. That was, you know, a funny, good conversation, but it definitely holds true, right? About
what's
kind of happening in today's landscape, about what was kind of happening here that caught him off guard. So, so we're live, you know, 5/17, like you mentioned, 93. So live taping, crowds are blazing again. They're pumped for this one, but little did they know, you know, how much was going to come out of this episode. The weird thing they start off with, and I just had a note here, is that they kind of go back to the street again, thinking like something's going to happen, and they got Lord Al out there. And my point is like, man, he just does not fit in. Like Sean Mooney felt like, you know, he felt like in, but like Lord Al is just such an outcast, I think, of this time frame. I don't know if I put in my notes as Gorilla better if he was out there. Like, I feel like they're missing it, and I think they're going to get it soon, right, with Todd, right, Pettengill, who kind of takes it as like, being more, I don't know, hip, using the word, but like Lord Al just doesn't feel like, he feels like a relic of an olden age. So nothing really happens other than him saying there's someone mysterious walking in the streets.
Yeah, it's nothing really major there. It's just, I don't know, I guess they're just trying to get you to tune in to see what could happen.
Right. Yeah, I wish they would have had someone with a little more charisma to sell it. So
right.
So you want to go Smoking Guns? These are your guys. So
yeah. So first we get a quick little recap of HBK and Perfect just to kind of start the show. Macho Man's wearing his Wolfpack attire, red and black. So it's kind of a little precursor, like he's telling ready Vince, like I'll do it, like I'll leave. So you better treat me right, but. We open up, which I think is smart on an episode like this, is open up with the Smoking Guns. You've been teasing them for, it feels like, 2 months now with all these vignettes. And I always like when you, like, if you're going to open a hot live show, to open it with a tag match, because in this era, like, you get the Head Shrinkers, the Steiners, Beverly's to an extent, now the Smoking Guns, you're opening up with, like, a fast-paced kind of match. When you have those guys, so it's something to get the crowd like invested. You don't have like cruiserweight matches like WCW would have later on. You don't have that yet, so you can't really do that. So the next best thing would be this tag match, and I thought it was a fun little squash match. Like they threw out some stuff that you normally didn't see, like with their double Russian leg sweep, and they just look kind of athletic. Like I think when you see the vignettes of them, like always on a damn horse and shit, and wearing these big old dusters, and like you don't really know what kind of style they're gonna be. Are they gonna be this like brawling, I don't know, bunkhouse buck type of tag team or something, you know? But no, they come out and they're kind of flying all over the place, doing some cool double team moves, and I think they made a really good first impression, you know. So I like for a squash match, you know, I like what they did.
Yeah, they I like too, they have the guns, right? So they kind of shoot off the guns, so that gets everyone into it, like even if I don't know who they are, like it catches your attention, right? So I like that little cool thing. They do their moves are like powerful. They get like a lot of sound out of the mat, like when they hit things, whatever it is, right? They like over like on the side suplex, it kind of does like he gets sound out of it. So they must be do a good job. They must be like working maybe a little stiff just on their first thing to kind of get over. Their finishing move, I don't know what you call it, but I just wrote dangerous. Like, and I'm not sure if they ever do it again, but it was a terrible botch. Like, I don't know, that guy's neck looked like he did it. I can't describe what it was because I wasn't sure what he was supposed to do, but he definitely dropped him straight on his neck. So I'm not sure if they ever do that again, but yeah, you could kind of tell too. They were like, "Oops," because they kind of didn't like jump up right away to celebrate.
They were excited.
Yeah, the crowd. I just put the crowd got fired up. I think the guns, you know, shooting off the guns adds to it. I like the jeans tool is like a different look, right? I don't think we've had it a wrestlers in jeans, so it just gives them. It just gave them a different feel, right, than your kind of generic tag team. So something different. Everyone talks about the Attitude Era, especially in WCW, right? Everyone's just in black jorts and black shirts. Like here, you got just different color schemes. I know New Generation Era gets made fun of for the color, but I think it adds, right, to you know who the Smoking Guns are right away. You
exactly. See their jeans, you know who they
are, besides just the mullet. So a good little fun squash. So I liked it.
Yeah, how dare you forget Brooklyn Brawler wears jeans to the mat, to the ring. Don't forget about him. Yeah.
Don't just forget about
about the trendsetter that is the Brooklyn Brawler, you know?
Tag team that wears jeans. So it's the guns. Right, we see that two guys in jeans. So.
Right.
So then we get a quick cut for Mania. It was funny that Vince says that everyone's talking about Mania, and I wrote in my notes that I was definitely talking about Mania. Like, I loved Mania back in the day. It was like my favorite Saturday morning show. Then we get Shawn Michaels out for an interview with Vince. A massive Shawn is gay chant. Yes. Massive. Which Bobby, I put a nice cover by Bobby. Bobby goes, Shawn is great. They're chanting that. So like, he not only talked over it, but kind of gave like, oh, the crowd's not really saying what you think they are. Right. I guess it's 93, but man, it was loud. It was kind of weird that like Shawn is talking about how he's beaten everyone so far, but Vince keeps calling him not a fighting champion. It's like they're kind of contradicting each other. Like Vince is like, hey, Shawn's like, I'm come up to all newcomers. So like Vince is kind of saying, egging him on, like, you don't fight anyone that comes up to challenge you, you'll take on. And in sneaks Marty Jannetty in a, I put such a 90s outfit. he kind of has a hat on, a t-shirt. I think he might be wearing jeans, but he kind of sneaks into the ring, kind of shocks everyone. The crowd's pumped for it. Like the interview, they were kind of, you know, out of a little bit just because heel interviews aren't the greatest after you get your heat, but the crowd's pumped for Marty. Marty says, you know, if you're a man of your word, you're going to, you know, accept my challenge tonight. And Sean tries, you know, delaying it, saying, you don't have your gear. You don't have your gear. And Marty says, I'll figure something out. So they set up, you know, a live feeling of, hey, there's going to be a title match from a guy you never thought would come back at that time. And Sean's definitely flabbergasted by it. So a real cool surprise, really great opener and a, you know, good use of an interview.
Yeah, I thought this is like one of your like linchpin moments of Raw, like, you know, like not just the show as a whole is great, but like this moment specifically of Marty coming back and challenging Sean. Like the only like thing I would change, and it's not anything big because I understand why they put it the main event, but I wish they would have like an impromptu match right then and there, like without the, you know, he'll say he doesn't need his gear. Let's just get going now. And I think the crowd would have just went fucking apeshit if that would have happened. Like, and you know, they still could have done what they did later and everything like that, but you know, at least then it makes it more like Sean is caught off guard and it's just spur of the moment. But, you know, I get it still. I get why they did it in the main event. It still works. It doesn't hurt it at all. It's just that would have been kind of cool to change it a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of a little funny that they make them. But I think they try to use the gear thing as like, well, Marty's not ready to wrestle. Even like he kind of came out of nowhere. So that buys him time. So I don't mind it, but I think it would have been, you know, it makes more sense like as a fight, like just to do it right then and there versus, you know, kind of waiting till later.
Yeah, it's like I come out, I'm gonna get you, but you're gonna wait about 30 minutes. I'm gonna get you, you know, but it's still good. I'm not knocking it at all. And then from there, so we get Razor Ramon versus the kids, and he's announced as the kid first, right? He's not there. They talk about like Macho brings up his name change like at some point, like, yeah, like, you know, we called him the Cannonball Kid, we called him the Kamikaze Kid, now he's just the kid. So
right, yeah, I don't know if he has a name here for it. Yeah,
I think he's just the kid. But this is obviously like they're obviously making it an emphasis on his name for what comes up. This is like this is not like a 5-star match as far as work goes, but this is a 5-star match as far as like what it is and what it was meant to do and your memories of it and all that kind of thing. Like Razor is just beating the shit out of Kid and tossing him around, and every other guy that we've talked about that he's fought done the same thing. So this guy doesn't have any credibility. Like he's not a hope spot away from a win. He hasn't been close. He hasn't, you know, like he's not like this. Like you just look at him as, you know, he might be younger and a little bit more athletic than some of the other jobbers, but you look at him the same as you look at Dwayne Gill or whoever else, you know, Barry Hardy, all these other jobbers that you see. You look at him the same. It's just a newer guy. So I think they've done that like perfectly as far as having him lose a couple times already. Like I think, you know, they could have easily just had him do this on his first night in, and I don't think the impact would have been the same, or it wouldn't have been as smart. So, like, when Razor's tossing him around, you're kind of like, okay, you know, this is what's supposed to happen. You know, you're not really, like, thinking this could happen. And the way they set this up is Razor comes in aggressive, going for an elbow in the corner, and he misses, and then Kid just hits the moonsault, like, and the match is just over, just like that. Like, there's no building up the crowd. There's no, like, you know, making it like there's no like it doesn't feel choreographed. Like it doesn't feel like it's planned to happen this way. Like the moonsault is just out of nowhere. It's like kind of sloppy, not like, you know, perfect. I love the way it is. Like I love the way this whole match is laid out. It's not even that long of a match, but it's just perfect how you tell the story of this kid beating Razor, and Razor's like pissed off when he loses, obviously, but you know, you've told the story of now Razor has lost his title match against Brett. He doesn't have any momentum. He barely beats Backlund at Mania with the, you know, doesn't even hit the Razor's edge. He's kind of, you know, scuffling. So you can believe that Razor Ramon like is down now. Like you can believe that, you know, he's on his way out as far as being a heel and might change his ways or whatever, to put it in layman's terms. And you also got the story of the kid who comes out of nowhere. It's like, okay, now I gotta watch for this kid. Like, now I gotta see right. what he's doing. So it's just perfect storytelling of a match. I love this. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a nothing match. You know, and you don't really, listening back, you know, it like Vince, I almost put like a hate Vince here because he like sells it a little too much, but at the time mm-hmm. you would never caught it. Right. Like he's obviously setting it up like it's not out of nowhere. So like sometimes I can really hate Vince. And so like listening back, I'm like, God, Vince, you're just being so annoying, but there's no way anyone would caught it. Right. Like it's so subtle. He's been treated as a jobber. Like I think last two times he didn't even get any offense in. So there's subtle hints that he could be somebody, right? But not enough to really make you think this has happened. And the biggest thing I think of this is it never happens, right? Jobbers never. And the only time it ever happens, right, is like five people interfere, right? Or something like that, right? Like I think DiBiase loses on like a count out because Virgil like pulls him out or, you know, just stuff like that, right? Where it's clearly, you know, not a real win. This was legit a victory. I think you're right that it comes out of nowhere. I thought Razor did a great job. When he does the ring post, he smacks his hand, so it makes mm-hmm. a really loud noise. So you kind of know that, you know, sometimes what the guys do at the ring post, like you can't really see it. This one, he makes a loud noise, so you know, it really sells it a lot. And then kids just jumping everywhere. The crowd is just like, some people are sitting and just jumping up in their seats. Some people have like don't know what to do, right, to clap or not. Like it's such an awesome moments afterwards too. I thought Razor sells it really well. Like he's just livid and like confused. Like he goes to the announcers. Like you never see guys do that. Like go to the announcers. Like what happened? Like how did that just happen? So I think it's just a really cool idea, a really great feel for like a live show. And like A+, like all time moments for Raw. I think it drew a lot of people in and kind of gave that, anything could happen. You know, Vince's anything could happen in the WWF. This is like one of those.
I think not enough credit goes to Razor for being like the perfect guy to have this done to him, because you know, he's like in all of his squash matches, he's the bully type. He's smacking the guys in the back of the head. He's, you know, jaw jacking with people. He's so cocky and everything like that. And his character, he hasn't been around too long. Like, you know, this happens to another guy later on, and it doesn't have anywhere near the same impact because you really don't care if he loses. I don't want to spoil it, but it's just not the same. Like with Razor, you're like, holy shit, he just beat a guy that, you know, 2-4 months, whatever it is, earlier was in the main event in a title match. And, you know, they've obviously got plans for him, and now this happens. So it just adds to the unpredictability of the show, you know?
Yeah. And what's crazy is like Razor was just in the main events, like 4 months ago, like what a step down for him, but you know, that's good on him. Like to say like, hey, I'm going to do this for my career. Like it could have been a bad move, right? Like he could have been mocked as the guy that lost to 1-2-3 Kid Forever. Right. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
Exactly.
All right, so then we all-time moment, like we kind of mentioned. So I like the idea then they come up back with Tatanka. So a guy that gets crowd into it, his squashes are always quick. So it was a nothing match, but I think, you know, most of these squashes kind of are. But, you know, I think it's a great guy because everyone loves his entrance. Crowd gets into him. He, you know, he's good at getting the crowd back in, you know, on a quick, you know, quick power move. So he looks impressive. So I don't know. I don't really have many notes here, but I love the way that they added that. Like you could have maybe thrown like a Mr. Hughes to just like kill the crowd, right? Like this was a guy to keep that crowd, like keep that energy going.
Right. There hasn't been a dull moment yet. And I think that's why like this Raw is so revered, is because you come for the Razor Kid, Sean Marty, and you also get, you know, a couple cool squash matches of the talent that like encapsulates this whole era. So it's just like a, you know, like this is a Raw that I could see people going back and watching from this era. If they're not going to go do like a full rewatch, you know, because of it, like you get all the feelings of the new generation. Like, oh, there's Tatanka, there's the Smoking Guns, there's, you know, Yoko coming up. Like HBK, Marty, like all these guys are 1-2-3 kid. It's all new generation era feel guys. They didn't throw DiBiase on the card. They didn't throw Hogan, Beefcake, none of those guys, you know. So I think it's perfect how they've set this up so far. And yeah, Tatanka was showing good too. Sorry to cut you off there, but he looked pretty good too in the squash show. That helps.
Yeah, I one other line that I missed, what that Macho even like said he forgot about Jannetty. So like I just think it gives it like, oh man, there's so much going on. I completely forgot Jannetty came out. So like I really like that. Like there's so much happening this episode. So I thought Savage had a good line there as well.
Right. All right, so from there we get the King of the Ring report with Gene, just kind of gives us an update on the King of the Ring, and it's cool that he mentions the kid as well. Like he has a little mention on the kid doing the upset on Razor, so it just kind of like adds to the volume of what kind of an upset and what kind of a moment this is. So like one thing, you know, WWF at this time, you can shit on their in-ring style all you want and shitty characters, whatever, but they're so good at creating moments and like focusing on what matters in the moment. So like, I think they're doing a great job with this, making you know that this wasn't just a jobber moving forward. Like he's going to be a player going forward. So I like that.
Yep.
You know, usually I don't really care about these like King of the Ring reports or updates or whatever anymore, but him just mentioning Kid was a cool touch. So I had to mention that. Agreed. And then from there we get Kamala versus Yokozuna. So this, I don't know, this kind of like signifies the burial of Kamala now, because he's getting beat by he's like becoming the jobber to the stars kind of, which is cool with me. Like I'm okay with him being squashed like this, but I think this is a better role for a character like him. Like you're not going to really, like you tried all you can with him, like with Slick and all this stuff. It's like, it's not really getting over. It's not really going anywhere. So to sacrifice him to Yoko to kind of reset Yoko was like the smart move. Like, you know, we were just talking about it last episode. Like, how many times are we going to see Yoko in a squash against a jobber doing it?
Yep.
It's fun to watch, but it's like it gets a little too repetitive and it doesn't do anything for him moving forward. Like, now at least you're squashing someone who, you know, I don't care for, but, you know, it's still a name at least, and a bigger guy, and you know, he just goes in and squashes him. And I thought this was another, you know, it adds to the show as far as names that you're trying to establish and reset. It's just kind of like this whole show, like the theme is like resetting the era and moving forward. So fun little squash, nothing major. What did you think of it?
So I like it. As far as you know, is getting Yoko over, right, like one last match before his title match, right? So mm-hmm. I like that. He Macho again, man, I'm talking about his commentary, but he kind of talks about how it's controversial about what's going on with the title match. Like, should Yoko have got it? Should have been Brett? People are talking that Brett shouldn't be top seed. I kind of like that, right? It's like creating kind of like, there's, you know, no one's really sure what's going on in the title belt, the history, right? So I kind of like that it kind of brings up that kind of starting like a little controversy around that. Vince on the, during the match, on a sidekick goes, what a maneuver, which I wrote in my notes that even I know that move, a sidekick. But Vince, of course, can't help himself. And I thought a really good bonsai drop, like really, really loud. Yoko yelled it. So I think I like that as well. You know, Kamala, I'll give him credit. Normally he's not a big guy in jobbing, but I think this was a good idea about him to kind of maybe say, hey, I want to be around for a little longer. And I know we've mocked Kamala so much, but he is a guy they've kind of tried to build up a little bit. So it wasn't, you know, someone really low on the totem pole. It's a guy that you've seen around. It feels like a big win for Yoko.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then my other note is that they did mention the Hulkster there during the match, that, you know, Yoko's going to fight him. But that was the first time they mentioned him in the 45 minutes. There's no promos about him. He's just missing in action. So we get to our main events, which is the surprise return of Marty Jannetty versus Shawn Michaels. So it's a two segment match. It's live, so you know they're probably another time crunch. But I thought they both had a good job. I think if you compared like this match to the Rumble match, I kind of like this one better.
One
because Marty goes over, and two, you know, I think they kind of sneak the win in. So you know, Marty wins on a small package, kind of out of nowhere. That I think just helps out. That it's a surprise. You know, Sean maybe wasn't able to scout that move. Marty's, it's not really Marty's, you know, no one's really moved his small package, but it's kind of cool that he wins on that. The other thing during the match, they have Perfect comes out. So Sean, which I don't know if he'd be doing this yet. I know it's his move for a while, right? To leave mid match, but he tries to, you know, get the count out loss.
Right.
Perfect comes in at the gate and kind of chases him back in. Does Marty really need Mr. Perfect to help him out? No, but for a surprise match and for, you know, Marty kind of being out of it and has barely been around for the past 2 years. It doesn't really bother me that much. Awesome moment. I just put in my notes, lucky, what a lucky crowd to go to this show. I don't know if you think I was just going to add at the end of the match, they kind of come back. Marty kind of, I think he runs through the crowd to kind of celebrate the victory.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of end the show with the towel in the ring that Perfect had thrown in. And I kind of love it. Like, you know, there's just chaos and no one even knows to pick up the towel. And Bobby even says like, what's going to happen next week. So I just, this awesome live feel to it, kind of this chaotic, you know, people are running through the crowd, you know, guys, when they win or lose, don't know how to react. I thought an awesome end to a show. You know, not only just the moment itself, but the entire show.
Yeah, and I agree. I like this match better than the Rumble match. Like, without Sherry's involvement, I just think it makes it, you know, focused on the feud itself instead of, like, they didn't need Sherry because the feud right. was already so hot because of their history, you know?
Yeah.
I love the finish. I love the title change. You're getting a title change on Raw with you don't expect that because Shawn's so hot as a heel. The only thing I can think of that, like, I would poke a hole in, it's not really a hole, it's just that I'm kind of surprised looking back, is like Vince booking two like flash out of nowhere pins in the same right. show. So that's kind of weird, like, because they're so anal with the things they do, like, you know, not having two guys named Shane on the roster at the same time, yep. kind of thing. So knowing that, and that's obviously hindsight, like, it kind of stood out, but it doesn't take away from it at all. Like, I don't care about that really, and, you know, I wouldn't change any of it. So I love that. I love that the way the show opened with, you know, a hot tag team match from guys you're getting introduced to the first time to, now you're left with like a question mark at the end. Like, yeah, you got title change, but is this going to be a feud now? He was feuding with Perfect. Like, what's going on? You know, everything's kind of up in the air, and I love it. Like, I love that. Yeah, that's why I love like ECW so much and stuff like that, because it's just blends from one segment to another.
Right.
Like, that's why the Attitude Era was so popular. You know, it doesn't, like, as long as it can keep your attention, it's a TV show at the end of the day, you know. And I think, like, this is such a perfect episode of a TV show, wrestling or not, that you can just sit back and watch and be entertained from beginning to end. So I think this did a great job with this episode.
Yeah, no, I really have no complaints on it. Like, I don't think there's anything really wrong with it.
You know,
someone could say, like, well, they should have more, you know, the Tatanka match and the Guns match, you know, their squashes are a little boring. But, like, I think at that time, like, no one was doing all, you know, man, I'm main event guys fighting. So, like, a little different than the Attitude, but I think it adds to it, too, because it gets you a little breathing room, right? And yep. it brings in, like, the Smoking Guns. We'll talk about another guy debuting, but, like, you're bringing in new stars and putting them over. Like, okay, let's check these guys out. Let's see what their moves are. You know, now I'm going to know what it is, right? Even though they botched it, right? Like, you know, let's get their, you know, moves over and what they kind of, who they kind of are. So it gives them time to kind of develop. So I can't think of really any complaints on the entire episode.
No, same here. I think it just flowed, and that's what I love out of a good wrestling show, whether, you know, whatever promotion it is, as long as the show flows and you're not like anticipating something else happening. You know, like that's why, and to kind of go back in the current time again, like with the, you know, the Punk episode of AEW when he comes back, like them doing that first was perfect, because had they not, you wouldn't be paying attention to everything else. You'd just be waiting for Punk to come out. You know, so I think like with this episode, it's kind of the same thing. It's just one thing flows into the next, and you're not really like bored anticipating something else. You know, it's just booked perfectly.
Yep, agreed. Should we do some plugs before we get to the quick to the superstars?
Yes, sir. So on the North-South Connection, we obviously have Aaron with The Year That Was, still waiting to drop the 87-97 showdown.
Yep.
I'm really like anticipating the hell out of that. So we should be seeing that soon. I know that I just heard on No Holds Bar that should be coming soon. So I'm anticipating that. We got the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast with Jake, covering, you know, pretty much my personal favorite era of the company, one that you were absent for the entire time.
That's why I laughed, because you just mocked me for not watching that.
Right. Today, as we record, we got the return of Three-Way Dance. Matt Souza's jumping in for Jay on that show. So, you know, if you haven't really caught on to that show yet, now's a great time to jump in and see Souza on there. You know, you kind of get a fresh new voice on that show. I really love what they're doing. We also got the Square Circle of Silver Screen, where they cover the, you know, a wrestling movie or a movie with wrestlers in it. And then another personal favorite of mine is TNA Never Dies, because it's just, TNA is such a shit show, and that makes for such a good podcast that, you know, Aaron, JT, and Jenny on there do a great job of just being entertaining. Well, you know, it's TNA. Well, you don't really have to say anything else, you know? So, yeah, we got a lot of good stuff on the feed right now.
Yeah. Did you mention now into the Rumble? Sorry if I missed that.
No.
Always one of the few shows, that Warzone and the regular place to be, I always catch right away. I know I'm always behind on podcasts, but now into the Rumble, it's just not even when they're great guys, you know, when they're talking the Bushwhackers, like it's still comedy. And then when they're talking guys that were legit, you know, like Shawn Michaels, they did Hogan a little bit ago, like those are great episodes too. So it's a great balance, because it's not just all serious. You get the serious, you know, talking about good wrestling, and then the talking about bad wrestling as far as, you know, the Bushwhackers or the Bolsheviks. So I love that. Love that show. And then, you know, Quadipods. So you got the Jenny Position, you got the Pop Experience, you got the regular place to be network and the North South Connection. And then do you want to do a plug for your episode? I think it's coming out on the
we did an episode, myself, Logan, and Adam did we did an episode of WrestleMania 24. I was there live, so, you know, it was cool to kind of, you know, relive that. And I haven't really rewatched that in a long time. And, like, I'm all over the camera on that show. And I'm such a whore on that show. Like, I was, like, you know, after every match, I'm like, holy shit, there I am again. I didn't realize, like, I was on camera.
Oh, really? Much.
Yeah, and, like, I knew I was one time because, in the inside of the DVD cover, you can see it. So okay. I'm like, okay, I was on that match, and I never really watched it back. Like, and then I watched it back for this episode, and I'm like, oh shit, like that's a lot, you know. Like, but I'm not trying to put myself over or anything. But, you know, it was
fun. You were the star of it. You were the star of the show.
Right, It was fun to relive it. You know, it's to me, it's top two or three favorite manias of all time. 19 being my first, and you know, I know that's like a hot take or whatever, but I was there live, so I really don't give a shit, you know, what the argument is for that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to back down on that. But it, I think it's like this episode of Raw that we just watched, and that it's a good show from top to bottom with nothing really too offensive in it. You know, you might not have like the 5-star stuff, but you're going to, you know, get something good out of it either way.
Awesome. Yeah, can't wait to listen. I think it drops next week, so can't wait. Same I think same time this will drop, so perfect watch. I can't wait to listen again. Well, one of my personal favorites too. We were kind of talking before that it's like a sneaky great mania. All right, on the superstars.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're 522 superstars, so this is the week the week after the Raw, or you know, like the Saturday, Sunday after the Raw. So they do talk a lot about the Raw. They bring up some of the moments. So I like that. They kind of sprinkle it in here and there. They kind of, I think, adds to the superstars. And to me, I don't know, you'll agree, but this is this is a fun superstars. So they start with the smoking guns again, right? Is that, did I have that right? Or did I copy that from the wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I was like, wait, did I read the wrong, did I copy it twice? But they do their gun thing again. They what's crazy about here is they wear like these full, I don't think they did it for Raw, but they had like a full outfit where they kind of had like cuffs on, cufflinks, and you know, ties and bow ties and things like that. So it took them forever to take their kind of outfit off, which I don't remember them really doing every time, but maybe just the way they kind of focused on them was this. They looked, they did their finisher again. I'm not sure what it is, but again, it's still not smooth. So that might be the end of it. But, you know, another impressive squash match. And again, cool kind of coming off with like, hey, they kind of started the superstar saying it was a hot Raw, like crazy stuff happens, and you got this new tag team coming in.
Yeah, and you know, it's just, it was just fun. Like, it's a fun squash to see those two out there. So, you know, it's not, you know, they're not really banging the doors down as far as work rate goes or anything like that.
Right.
They are a little sloppy. Like, I think they're a little excitable right now. You know, like they're, you know, I think they're like happy to be there more than anything. But you know, yeah, it's just a fun tag team to watch. I like new, young tag teams, so like that's, it's always gonna be cool for me to watch. So I enjoyed it.
Yep.
All right. So then from that squash, we do get an update with Gorilla now. So it looks like Gorilla's kind of taking this over. Like that's kind of what they're finding for him to do, which I think is good for him. Like, you know, he's not really going to be your everyday on-screen character anymore. So it's kind of throwing with this, even though it doesn't feel as like in tune with the direction of the company. Like, just he's such an older guy giving your updates, it kind of feels still 80-ish. But, you know, I don't mind Gorilla. Like, Gorilla's kind of like Bobby, where it's just, you know, I don't care what the era is, I'll enjoy watching him. He gives a recap on HBK and Marty Jannetty with the title change and the kid with the upset over Razor. So it's kind of like a recap of the big hit things on Raw. And then from there, we get a Bam Bam squash. I thought this was actually pretty fun, too. Like, it's your, as far as in the ring goes, it's your normal Bam Bam match. It kind of dominates. But he's got Tatanka's, like, ribbons in his mouth as he does the headbutt. So I thought that was like a nice little touch to kind of further the feud between those two. You know, stuff like that I always eat up. Like, if you're gonna have a squash match and you got this feud in the background, do something a little extra to kind of keep people interested in the feud. And I thought this was like a nice little touch to keep you reminded of that they are feuding right now, you know.
Yeah, just on Gorilla, I did put that he feels like a man giving up on life. Like, I think he's definitely disappointed that he's being relegated to this. Like, he doesn't have the energy. But sometimes Gorilla did that even in play-by-play. But I did like that they showed the highlights of the 1-2-3 kid. And they also mentioned that Razor is going to have a special announcement coming up. So there's going to be follow-up, right, to, hey, you saw that. Now there's going to be something big coming off of that. So make sure you tune in. During the Bam Bam match, that King announced that he's doing his on challenge, he's gonna start the King's Court. So I think we've talked before, like, the interview segments maybe haven't been the best, and they're kind of missing that, like, funeral parlor, you know, barbershop thing. So King is now gonna be at the King's Court, which I didn't know was this soon.
So
kind of cool that he brought that up, and he got the big first guest. I don't know if you heard who his first guest was. Do you remember?
No, I didn't hear it.
The one and only Giant Gonzalez. So,
we have to
check that out. I'm about to find challenge to check that interview out. It's got to be A+. But it's kind of funny on the Tatanka hair. I love what you kind of mentioned about it, like adding something different. But he does have it like in a cheap Ziploc bag. Like, I don't know if he's. I think they do it so you can see through it and you know what it is, but it does look kind of cheap. Like, I got his hair and I got like this 10-cent bag, but. I love that he does a splash with it. I thought this was a pretty great squash match. You know, and Bam Bam is really good at these because he just has some high impact things. This headbutt, I think, always looks good. Like, I think they do a great job on the camera angle to like show it. Like, I think they do a great job there.
Yes,
sir. So we go to the event center. We got they've really kind of switched these event centers now to face to face, right? We're no longer getting the canned promos of guys and talking about like locations. It's like, hey, we're gonna do face to face of two guys that might might fight each other. So we get a Yoko interview that I want to bring up. This is where we get the more shitting on Hogan, right? Gene says a lot of people are saying Hulk is more worried about movies and that Yoko is the one that's actually going out there and fighting. So it's just weird. They've already turned on Hogan, you know, in their promos for the match. Standard Mr. Fuji nonsense. And then Mr. Perfect was also there talking about how he's ready for Sean. And we go to a King of the Ring qualifying match. So this was really weird. Unless I missed it, Shawn Michaels was, they skipped his entrance. Did you see it?
Yeah, they skipped it.
Yeah, it's like, why? It's such a weird thing to skip. Like, I don't know why you would do that, right? You would think you would time it out better, that you could get a guy that has like a pretty, you know, famous song and has, it's not like someone bland coming out like Demento where he doesn't do anything during his intro. Like, Shawn has a dance, you know, kind of gets the girls into it. So, like, it's weird they skipped that part.
Well, you know, like just to cut you off real quick, sure. I'm gonna ask you a question. Has this ever happened to Bret Hart? No, it has not.
I don't think so. Yeah,
it has not.
Jobber entrance.
Continue. point proven.
Sorry, jobber Shawn Michaels gets a no entrance. So I do like this match because it will set up their King of the Ring match, but. In my notes for the match, Crush just has so much power. He just walks around with Shawn around the ring, like faking him out that he's gonna throw him over the top rope. It's a fun little match. They kind of fight to the outside and get a double count out, and kind of ends nothing. You would think either guy, because it's for a King of the Ring spot, would kind of like fight to get back in. Like, it's kind of my complaint about it is like, you would think one of them, it's not like a title match or a blood feud where like, all right, I'm just going to kick this guy's ass. Like, you're trying to just outsmart the other guy to win the match and get to the tournament. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. But fun little match at the, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so. And I think they're just showing off that Crush has this like massive amount of power. So I'm not sure what the long-term plan was for Crush, but they're really making about like, this is a, you know, we're not in the steroid era anymore, but Crush is one of those type of guys.
Right. What did you think about going with the double count out here being a qualifying match?
So my problem with it is within like 5 minutes later, they talk about how Perfect and Doink are going to fight again for the third time.
Right.
So it's just confusing of why these two guys get a double count out and both are out automatically. Yeah, Doink and Perfect are able to just continuously fight. So
exactly.
I don't like that. And it just makes, you know, you're trying to put over what the King of the Ring is and you're already making it confusing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a tournament.
When you
think of, you know, March Madness, like, you know, it, for what people can relate it to, it's not like, oh, well, those two teams just played a great game. They're both out. You know, it doesn't work like that. Like, to me, there has to be a winner somehow. Like that,
right.
Like this would have been a perfect time to pull the whole overtime card, or, you know, whatever you want to do, or hey, we're gonna have a rematch next week, something like that. You know, like, I don't know. I thought it was just kind of lame to do a double count out and just leave it as that. And like you said, with the whole Perfect and Doink thing, I agree with that. That's exactly where I was going with that. So
don't have the match, or maybe like Crush like wins but says, nope, I want to fight Shawn instead, like something. I don't know,
right.
Maybe that's too common, you know, too much going on there, but like, don't even have the match. You're just making confused, especially like as a new gimmick, right? Like, you're exactly. Making it confusing. So but I thought it was fine, and I, you know, the only thing I will say though, it does give, I wish the ending was better too, like they got more involved, like more fighting in the countouts, because it could set up their title match better, right?
Right,
like King of the Ring, like I wish there was more like more hatred there. But I think without that, that match has like no interest, right? Like, why, right. Who cares why they're fighting? So,
right.
Kind of two weird guys to put together, but, That's my thoughts on that. So let's add that I think we had the event center as well after that, or an update. The big thing they add is they talk about that there's going to be a big 8-man tag.
Right. And we also get Hogan on the beach too.
I'll let you do that one. Yep.
Yeah. Hogan's on the beach with this got me thinking of like if you look back in the 90s of some of these promos that like are so cringeworthy when he's doing the big, fat, smelly Yokozuna. Like,
yep.
Who talks like that? Like, he was doing that in the fucking NWO. Like that.
I know.
Like he had Nash and Hall, like two of the coolest guys in wrestling, like representing Tupac and gangster rap and talking slang. And he's out there, the big stinky giant. Like him, Diamond Dallas Page would do the same thing. Like he would call him Hollywood scum. Like who says scum? Like, you know, like I don't get it. Bret Hart, I love him, but he kind of does the same thing sometimes too, of just using like these words from like the 60s and the 50s. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, it's so like cringeworthy to see him talk like that and try to be like a cool baby face. But
yeah, he says wart infested.
Wart
in front of carcass. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he said the same thing about the Giants. Like, it just feels like a promo he's like reusing for the Giants.
It's like nursery rhyme insults. Like, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
But it shows him on the beach. Like, okay, obviously, like I get what they're doing, like to kind of show why he's not been there. You know, like he's doing his whole Thunder in Paradise crap or whatever. But I don't like Hogan whatsoever. So not seeing him anymore would be cool with me, especially if he's gonna be like this lame ass joke. Like, you know, whatever. So that was my thoughts on that.
Yeah, agreed. So I didn't mean to skip that over, but I wanted to.
right. I don't blame you. It just got to me like the whole corny, like I don't know. Like, and doing it like because I've been watching, like trying to follow along with JT and Chad.
Yeah,
I've been watching some of that era too, and then like seeing that he's doing it in that era too, with the NWO, like supposed to be like cutting edge and stuff. You know. Like Nash and Hall, like, God damn, does he? Why couldn't we get Sean over here?
You know,
somebody. Like, it's just so bad, like so old man, you know, insults. Yep. But, So the opposite of old feeling is what we get next with the debut of Adam Bomb in the squash here. Now,
It's Adam fucking Bomb.
Adam fucking Bomb. You're right. So the Adam Bomb is one of my like irrational favorites of all time. Wrath. I loved him as Wrath. I loved him as in Chronic. Like, I don't know. He's not like this. He's like a poor man Sid to me. Like he's this like tall, jacked, athletic dude who's not really good on the mic, but I don't know. He just has this like charisma, and he just looks badass. And it's like, I know I sound like this like 12-year-old kid right now, but I don't give a shit. Like the color scheme, like everything is just cool about Adam Bomb. And you know, he comes in and destroys this. He has Johnny Polo, and I thought that was great for him to come out with Johnny Polo. And you know, as his like manager, and he's just awesome. He's like real athletic. He hits this like kneeling powerbomb as his finish. So I think looks cool as hell. Like he's doing it different than anybody else. And you see him and you're like, oh shit, instant contender. Like this guy comes out, he's huge, he fits the bill, he's got a manager, so he doesn't need to talk. Like, this guy has money written on him. And oh, I'm so happy that Adam Bomb's here now, because this is one of the guys that defines the new generation era for me. So like I can watch his squash matches all day. I know he doesn't like have too many high profile matches or whatever, so I'll take what I can get. But yeah, I ate this up when I was watching it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a hush in the crowd. Mm-hmm. First, Gene's still at the update, and he does more of his bad acting of like, well, something's happened. Yeah. Who's that? Who is that? More bad acting by Gene, but Polo kind of comes on the screen and says, hey, I got a big surprise for you. And they kind of do like the atomic bomb blast. It's kind of synonymous with Adam Bomb, but the crowd is like in a hush because they kind of don't know what he is. His music's kind of like haunting. He just looks cool. It's crazy. This guy, I put in my notes, isn't it SummerSlam or King of the Ring? Like, it's a guy I feel like they miss on so much. You know, just as a kind of like a spectacle. You could have built him up as a, you know, a challenger for Taker or, you know, some other guys, even if you don't think he's that great. Like, he's big enough that he could be that type of guy. I feel like, so it's weird they didn't find a way to sneak him in the King of the Ring, even if you have to do a, you know, double count out or something like that, you know, to get him out, that you don't want to kill him already. But they do the same thing with Mr. Hughes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Mr. Hughes is a new guy and still loses. So I think you could have had him in the King of the Ring, and it's crazy he's not at SummerSlam, like somehow involved in some little feud. But we'll see, maybe he gets injured or something that we miss out on him. But he's just a guy they should have done so much more with. And he just looks powerful in his match too. Like, all his moves look menacing. So a guy I'm in love with, and great. I thought great debut.
Exactly.
And has Johnny Polo been around? Like,
I don't think so. Like, I don't,
right? Like, is this his debut too?
I don't know, because they don't like really treat him like it's his debut, like it feels like.
Right.
But we haven't seen him. Like, I know, you know, his major act is coming up soon.
Right.
But I don't think he's been around. Like, I can't even think of anything he would have been involved in. And he was in WCW as Johnny Flamingo, wrestling in like the cruiserweight division a little bit before this.
Okay.
Yeah, he was wrestling like Johnny B. Badd in 92. So yeah, this has to be like his debut. So
yeah,
it's kind of weird they don't really push that, but
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird too. Like, he's never, I don't think he ever wrestles in the WWF, right? Like this no. round, right? Right. It's like so weird. Yeah. They brought him as a manager, so I'm not sure if he did like had an injury angle, or like he was, you know, he is a smaller guy. But, like, right. It's kind of weird that he kind of takes time off to be a manager for a while. And they don't – it's not like a manager – it's a guy that I think they could have used, like, in matches, right? Like, oh, sneak him in. Like, Paul, you got to – you know, like they used to do with Bobby, right? Like, okay, now you got to fight with Bobby, right? Like, I feel like they could have done that more. And maybe they do. Maybe I did miss – you know, I'm thinking about with pay-per-views. I don't think I see them fighting, but maybe they find ways to use him a little bit more.
And I know he does like commentary later, and
right,
yeah, he actually works in like creative and stuff like that for a little bit.
Yeah,
so maybe it is weird.
Yeah, maybe that's just it was his choice, right? Like, hey, I'm sick of wrestling, but my body's getting beat up. Like, I don't blame that on guys too. But it's just kind of interesting that they kind of treat him right away as a manager.
Right.
So then we get one of the cringiest things I think ever. Apologize, I didn't write the girl's name, but she reads a poem about drugs. It's actually very haunting. Very haunting.
Yes.
Her, like, even her speech about it, like how she's lost friends already, and she seems like she's only 10 or 11, so right. I don't know if she lost friends or she's reading a poem about people that lost friends. Like, it was very kind of sad and cringeworthy. But to make it even worse, they have the Undertaker here, guy who never talks, come out and just does his standard Taker voice with "There's no hope with dope," and it is about as cringeworthy and as bad of like marketing as I think you can imagine.
This is like the biggest what the fuck they've done yet. Like, how do, you're trying to be sympathetic and like pull at the heartstrings on a Saturday morning, mind you, like kids are eating their cereal and shit. They don't want to see this shit. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to see some girl on it. Like, I just saw Adam fucking bomb. Yeah, I just saw Adam bomb fucking kill somebody. Like hypothetically with a power bomb. Yeah. And now I got to hear some girl talk about like kids actually dying. Like, I don't want to see this shit. It's like the
drugs.
It's like
kids are like, what are drugs?
Yeah, it's like Sarah McLachlan is watching this, saying like, what the fuck? Like, tone it down. You know, like, and then the Undertaker comes out and just kills it. Like, even if you were into it and like, oh man, that sucks, I'm sorry to hear that, Undertaker comes on and you can't take anything that girl just said seriously when he does the voice of "There's no hope with dope," and it's like, and then even the saying "There's no hope with dope," it's like, come on man, like, it's so corny. Like, it's the whole, you know, we're trying to be hip with the slang kind of shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, this segment was just so cringeworthy, it's not even funny.
Yeah, it was rough. Then we got one last match. Our buddy Duggan kind of come up and just put "so over." So cool guy to kind of end the show with. He kind of had a heel and Adam Bomb, who didn't really position as a heel, like, really.
Right.
You know, like, he wasn't, you know, didn't do anything heelish. He just didn't, I don't think he like slapped hands with anyone. So that's how you tell his face. But, you know, a guy to get the crowd back into it, you know, after live taping, Duggan just is so over. So he's typical Duggan squash, but just a guy that like is definitely big. And they do mention that he's still, you know, looking for Yoko. And it's weird that they don't, again, that we still haven't seen Yoko and Duggan together. Like they did the Yoko Kamala match. Like, should that have been maybe Yoko Duggan next week? So, you know, the guy that I'm waiting for that match to happen because they're just built, they've been building up for a while. And then we do one last face to face at Event Center. So we got Brett and Razor talking now. So they're, you know, they're talking up their King of the Ring match. They're going to fight again. Razor said it was kind of, he never gave up. I kind of like that he didn't give up at the Rumble. Said he really didn't say he gave up. So kind of cool, right? Because you don't have the, back then, you don't have the tapping. Right. So he says, I never really said it. The ref didn't really hear me. Razor's definitely acting massively heel during this. So I'm guessing like it's kind of weird, like the Razor stuff. Right. They keep him heel for this Bret Hart match and they're going to turn him face. They're going to try to turn him face. But they also have him like losing to 1-2-3 kids. So he's got just a lot going on with him. And I don't know. I don't think I heard because I kind of promoted him. I know it's that he didn't even bring up that he has lost the 1-2-3 kid.
No,
which is OK because you're. But it's just a lot going on with Razor, right? Like you're trying to present him as a heel, as a guy that just lost a weird match, and obviously they want to turn him face because the crowd has just been egging him on to be a face, right? So he's just a guy that's got a lot going on right now, which you know, which is good. But I actually thought if you didn't know the 1-2-3 kid kind of thing, I thought this was an awesome promo between the two guys.
Yeah, and I think like what you're saying about a lot going on. I think all of the faces of this era, like the not baby faces, but like the actual faces of the New Generation era.
Yep.
I think each one of them have a lot going on, and I think the reason why, like when I started thinking about it, because you got Sean with Perfect and Duggan, and now Marty. You got like you just said with Razor, with Kid and Brett now with the King of the Ring, and then he's got some other stuff coming up soon. You know, Sean, I already said Sean, Brett with the title match he's looking forward to. He's got King of the Ring coming up. Perfect's kind of like around there. Like, a lot of them just have something going on. And I think they're just trying to like see what sticks. Like they're trying to, because all these guys are kind of like newer faces. They don't know who's really going to roam with the ball yet. Like to take, like before it was just, you know, Hogan versus X. And that's what's going to carry us for 6 months. But now they don't really know who's going to run with it. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, like what they come out of this with. And I think they will start to nail it down soon. So it's going to be pretty fun to watch coming up.
Agreed. Yes, all right.
Sir. And then, before we get into awards real quick, it's Ryan and Logan that I did the pod with. I know I said Adam earlier, so I just want to clear that up before I, get killed by anybody. And then, just a quick, as we're recording this, just a quick rest in peace to Daphne. If you've heard this, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that with the whole suicide thing. You know, I'm someone personally that, you know, goes through anxiety and you know, kind of has a little mental health problems every now and then. So it kind of like strikes a chord with me, you know, personally. And, you know, if anybody's out there that kind of like this listening that kind of goes through that, you know, feel free to hit me up whenever, you know, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you know, if you need my number, text me, like just stuff like that. It's shitty. It sucks. You know, like seeing that, you know, somebody that's kind of like, not to the extent obviously that Daphne has, but I get it. Like I get the big picture and, you know, I'm not trying to bring the show down or anything, but you know, I know people like listen to us and podcasts in general is kind of like an escape. So, you know, if that, you know, would help anybody, you know, feel free to hit me up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm similar to you. And it was a tough day yesterday, like check in and people were like trying to call her and, you know, all those things, just, it was like, you just can feel, and it was, right. You know, I think there were a lot of people reaching out, which was great. And, you know, that, you know, didn't obviously work out, but there, you know, you do have a support network out there. Like if you don't think you do, like you sometimes forget. Right. And I think that's part of it, but you know, there was kind of nice to see like so many people caring about it and seriously. And, you know, it's tough that it ended up happening that way. But, like you mentioned, yeah, don't feel, you know, scared to reach out to any, to me, yourself. There's always people around. There's wrestling fans everywhere.
Right.
Fans of, you know, definitely just good people. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It was a rough little day yesterday, like looking through those, messages people were sending and things like that.
Right.
All right. Yeah,
so there's no really good segue from that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. No, it's
hard, but yeah.
No, great. I think important to bring up, as much as, we sometimes mock some of the wrestlers and things on that.
Right.
Everyone's human. Right. And everyone's got the, ups and downs, and we just got to remember that too.
Exactly.
All right. So let's do our awards for this, kind of historic Raw episode, and Superstars might be a little tougher because we only did one of each, but I think we can find something. So we got most new gen outfits.
I'm going Adam Bomb. He just looks badass. You got the goggles, everything, like the red tongue, all that. I'm going Adam Bomb for sure.
I gotta go off that too. That was an awesome debut. Most new gen performer.
I'm gonna go 1-2-3 Kid, or he's not named. I don't know if he's really named 1-2-3 Kid yet, but
the Kid.
I'm gonna go with the Kid. Yeah, it might sound stupid, but something as simple as hitting a moonsault in 1993 on national TV is a big deal, and especially someone his size. He's not like this little guy necessarily, so
yeah
I'm gonna go with the Kid.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We didn't even bring that up. Like, no one really does that move. Like, that was, Owen Hart is, the high flyer, right? And, even, Coco Beware was, treated as a high flyer. But, that was legit, high flying. So,
right.
Awesome. I'm gonna go with Smoking Guns. Because I think, with their gunshots and their outfits, they kind of everything, two matches from them. Great debuts, even though they botched their finisher pretty bad.
Right.
Worst match or segments?
I don't know. There wasn't too many.
There wasn't much.
It wasn't much bad. As far as I guess I would go Duggan and the Brawler. I mean, it's not really offensive, but it wasn't anything great to come out of it either. So
I'm gonna let you change your votes. How about Hulk Hogan's interview?
Oh hell yeah! Never mind. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Word infested. Big
stinky word infested. Yeah, no. 100%.
I'm gonna go not the Shawn and Crush match, but the Shawn and Crush ending, right? We kind of talked on that, how it's confusing, why would they both agree to kind of end that way. So I think those are two worthy ones. Best match, this is a tough one because there's two great moments. So
I think the better match is Shawn and Marty, but the moment of Kid upsetting Razor is so iconic that I think people think of this Raw, I'm like, oh, that's the Raw that Kid upset Razor.
Yeah.
Oh, and Shawn and Marty's on there too. This is an awesome show. So I think it's, since that's the secondary thought, I'm gonna go with Kid and Razor.
Yep, I'm gonna do the same because it's just it's something you never saw before. You did kind of sometimes see random title changes, not world title changes, but the tag and Intercontinental. But this is something you never saw. So I like that. Stock up.
Right now I'm gonna go with Marty Jannetty. He's on a comeback, he's the IC champion on the same night. I'm gonna go with Marty for right now.
I'm gonna do the same because I feel like this is a guy that I'm sure he's gonna blow it somehow, but guy that out of nowhere comes in hot and hit the moment, right? He kind of came in, the crowd was up. That could have been a moment where people were kind of not pumped about him coming back, but the crowd was all over the surprise and all over the title win. So I hope he's a guy that sticks around because I think he's got talent.
He's a penny stock. You can't invest too much in him because he might leave out of nowhere. So his stock is up, but just don't put too much faith in him,
Yep. Then it's stock down.
It pains me to say it because I've loved everything he's been doing lately, but Crush only because of the booking. He didn't put Shawn over to advance in the tournament, and he didn't advance in the tournament himself. So, out of this two episode thing, I don't really see anything going forward with Crush right now or anything either. So I'm just gonna have to. It sucks to have to do it, but I'm gonna go with Crush.
I like that. I'm gonna be mean to old people, but Gorilla and Lord Al, they're just not. I think their two roles are just not fitting in. I think Gorilla, I think we talked about Gorilla. I love when he's the president. I think that's such a great move for him. But just as this like event center guy, like he doesn't bring the same that I feel like Gene and Sean Mooney did. And, you know, I think even Todd Pettengill like really brings like a lot of energy and attitude. Gorilla just doesn't add to it. That's just my opinion. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you. So you're not wrong on that.
All right. So next week, I don't think we've talked about it, whether we'll go back to two or one. I probably can look at the show to think if we'll get back to our two on. Right. And we're getting, you know, we didn't really, because these were such fun episodes, we barely talked about King of the Ring, right? But that's coming up in like a couple weeks.
Early June.
So we'll kind of get pumped up for that. But especially the Raw was just like so awesome that like you kind of forgot like about the King of the Ring. And they did do a good job, I thought, of promoting it still, but there's just so many moments that it kind of overshadowed. But I think there's just a couple more weeks left before King of the Ring, so.
Right.
We'll be back in 2 weeks then. We'll get back to our normal schedule of being on every 2 weeks after a little couple week break, and then we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Thanks. All right.